103 decibels, and they're just getting started as Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down, the kick clears the line, and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl! LA will play for the Lombardi! Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime! 26-23, it's over, and the Superdome is silent.
David, football, football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, the Rams were sent to the Super Bowl, and we got here too. Hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, we're positively over the moon and eager with anticipation for the kickoff of Super Bowl 53. The DDFP is always presented by Head & Shoulders. Welcome to the show. A gangbusters one awaits your ears and eyes if you're watching any of it. We have coming up Juju Smith-Schuster. We have Melvin Gordon. We have Flake It or Make It, the Super Bowl edition. And right now, seated to my immediate left, well, let's go around the wheel here. All the way at the end there, our main man, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Well, he's not. I'm sorry. He's taking a one-year hiatus from being a Dolphins fan.
What is happening?
Playing the field. We'll see where he comes down on that one. It's Handsome Hank. We don't have time for the music. We don't have time there.
No time for music today.
He does have a great intro, JP.
Then you hear another voice that you likely recognize if you listen to the DDFP at all, or if you listen to Los Angeles Rams on the radio. He is the analyst. He's the guy all over every show going on this week on NFL Network and beyond. It's our main man from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Hey, Shaq. Can I introduce the next guy?
All right.
Please.
Feel free.
People don't understand what this guy means to me.
Yeah.
Seriously, I almost got choked up. But I'm not going to cry out here.
Oh, okay? Please cry.
When
please
I was bad. I was at my bottom. This man here lifted me up. He took me to a place that I don't want to give promotion to, but we worked out together at a certain place
you
in a certain city in Denver,
hero.
And he changed my life. And not only did he change my life, I felt like our connection got stronger, which then helped the Rams get better.
Okay.
I'm talking about the one and only, the greatest play-by-play caller of all time.
Woo.
J.B. Long, yes, ladies
that?
And gentlemen.
Some intro.
No question.
We haven't worked out since.
No.
Like, not collectively, not independently.
No. Just that one time.
That one time.
In fact, Maurice, have you worked out since then?
Yes, Handsome, I do actually swim on my own. It's for your information.
Handsome, good to connect with another Westchester resident,
it's
by
good.
The way.
Yeah, yes. We could do a little Westchester podcast
thank
right
you.
Over here.
I want to get into a bunch of stuff, but as quickly as we can, Maurice said already that New Orleans is the best football city to visit because of the food and such. J.B. Long, your thoughts?
Well, Green Bay is special because of that community, just how isolated it is, the stadium, how involved everything is. I would put that one right up there. But Los Angeles is growing. We're proud of it as a football community.
Yes,
that rally on Sunday to send the Rams off, very
awesome
impressive.
Awesome turnout for that,
yeah.
Right? Okay. We were just talking about Maurice almost getting choked up. And if you want to cry, Maurice, please do.
I'm all right.
Don't let the waterworks open up. That would be gangbusters for ratings.
There's only one movie that ever did that to me, and I'll never tell you.
Oh, why won't you tell?
Little Giants. It gets me every time.
Tell them why.
Little Giants makes you
weep. You want to know why?
Yes.
Because it's the kid with the glasses finally scores a touchdown after all he went through.
That's
all the heartache. It's tough.
See, Maurice, heart of gold, deep down, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so win or lose, that's the end of the season. Will you two, JB and Maurice, will you guys like hug each other goodbye, or what are you going to do? See you next spring, next fall, man.
No, I mean, text.
Yeah, we text, and we only live 5 minutes apart, so we'll have an end of year celebration, a little get together, right?
No question. Listen. I almost cried after the NFC Championship game. We win the Super Bowl, and I'm talking about the call. When we have a better call than the other folks that we're going against.
Do you guys get a ring if you win this? Is that? I mean, you're Ram. You are with the Rams.
I hope.
Does Maurice get a ring as a Ram?
Ooh, that's a fascinating ethical question.
And do you
question,
accept
Maurice?
A you're ring as a Ram?
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely accept it.
I'm gonna wear it every day. This right hand is gonna be taken. The left hand's already taken. The right hand will be taken with
you. You're gonna wear a Rams ring around?
Yes. Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. It just seems interesting that you would.
No, it's a ring. That the team that I work for,
I'm not saying you shouldn't. It's
you are implying that I shouldn't.
I'm not. I'm just thinking out loud. Is that the right thing to do? I'm not exactly sure.
Would you wear your ring?
Your thoughts?
I don't know if I would wear it. Maybe occasions like these, I'd certainly lock it up. I put it someplace safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always like when the head coach in the locker room right after the game announces, no one can ever take that ring away from you. Yeah, coach, they can take the ring away. They can't take the fact that you won the game. But they always get bogged down with that. JB, great call legitimately, and I told you that, and I talked with Maurice about it as well, because that now will live for the remainder of football eternity. Is your call an overtime win, 57-yarder, and you seem prepared. The moment didn't overwhelm you. I said this to Maurice last night.
Oh, it overwhelmed me.
Well, because, I said to Maurice, are you nervous for the game? Are you at all, JB?
Yeah, I have this kind of bundle of something, you know, right beneath my rib cage, and it's been there for about 4 days, and it's going to be there until I think we finally kick off and get going, right, on Sunday. But what I love about that moment, aside from everything it means to the Rams and Los Angeles and the organization, is if you see the booth camera, a couple of things. One, the celebration that's going on behind us. That old saying, no cheering in the press box. That might hold true for Mo and for me, but there are other members of that party who are celebrating. And then, somewhere on your phone, there's an emoji that perfectly encapsulates MJD's reaction as that 57-yarder goes through the uprights. That kind of drop jaw emotion. That was Maurice's face.
I was in shock. I've never been here before.
Crazy, crazy kick. I mean, for real, that would have been good from 75.
You know, the other thing, if I can take you behind the scenes, too, that we talked about during the two-minute warning commercial break, because they had just thrown that ball again, and they were set up to walk away with that thing. And we started talking, okay, what do you do here? How do you manage this? And DeMarco and MJD were both unanimous. You run it. You take their timeouts. You go up three with less than a minute. And I agree with that. I agreed with that. But my premise was, is that going to be enough for Breeze and for Peyton? This is not a Will Lutz moment. This is a Drew Brees just turned 40. Right. This is his last look at it moment. And sure enough, they did throw it, not just once, but twice.
Have you considered now for Super Sunday, have you scratched out any gems that you might work in if the situation allows?
I got to consult with my partner here.
Listen, I told you, he preps. I just do my little piece of the pie. I just do my part.
You do like I do. I don't like to prepare.
I know I prepare, Shaq.
I
don't do that.
I misspoke. I misspoke. I prepare. I just don't. Oh, I don't want to. I want to be improvisational. I want to be in the moment.
Authentic.
That's right. Yes. You and me are like that. You know.
Well, as a longtime fan of this show, I must say I always attributed so much of your success to you. I mean, the show carries your name. It carries your face and your voice. Now that I'm here and I see how many other wonderful minds contribute to and orchestrate this operation.
Well, it's
no
nice
wonder
not
you
to
don't
bring
prepare.
That up. Yeah,
it's the production meetings. I mean, we will meet for hours and hours before each show to determine what we're going to talk about.
This is what happens, JB. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll have a production meeting set, let's say 10 o'clock, and Sheck will stroll in around 11:30, and then he'll be like, let's start the show. You don't prepare. But
that's
but
talent.
You know what?
That's called talent.
That's natural talent. That's what you have.
That's what I live on, you know?
No question.
I mean, he wasn't in the exact corner of the end zone of the Coliseum for Gerald Everett's game-winning touchdown catch against the Kansas City Chiefs by accident.
My reputation precedes me, I see. I did settle the hash with Gerald Everett, and I got him to high-five me opening night.
It was too late. I saw that. It was too late, Chuck.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the moment.
It wasn't the same. All right. Let's do now. Do you guys want to use this time we have to work out some stuff, like to try some stuff out?
I would like to hear your suggestions and handsome suggestions.
Okay, handsome. Okay. Throw a scenario.
Okay.
Create a scenario.
The Rams are down by six. There's a minute left. They get the ball at their 23-yard line, and you've got to set up. This is the drive that could,
ooh,
could
I like
put
that.
Jared Goff and Sean McVay, you know, in the history books. Let's hear it.
Well, I'm probably setting it up as you know, Tom Brady as a 24-year-old got his moment in that situation, right? And now here Jared Goff is, the youngest NFC champion, 24 years of age. Is he ready to take that torch? And then I let Maurice set it up from a football standpoint.
I love that.
I will say the Rams, throughout the course of the season, have been in the top five in these type of situations. 2 minutes at the end of the half or before the end of the half, and then 2 minutes before the end of the game, they find ways to score points, which we talked about in New Orleans, and they scored a touchdown. And then we then go on and do our thing.
Do you have any little rhymes or any little names that you're going to drop? Like if Todd Gurley scores late in the fourth quarter, Gurley, now the man. I guess that's a little hack.
Yeah, Did that rhyme?
Not
that
rhyme.
Or do you have, like, Matt Moneysmith? I don't even know if you guys are allowed to talk about him.
Oh, I love Matt Moneysmith.
He's with another team, and he has one which goes, knock on wood.
JB, yeah, you know what would be?
No?
You know what would
I mean,
be
I wouldn't do that either.
If somebody scores a touchdown,
okay,
and it was a little bit cold this week here, what you could work in is, this is a great phrase that no one's ever used in a broadcast before. It's the old 80s ice cream from Scandinavia, Frusenglasia. A touchdown, like, Goff to Everett, touchdown, Frusenglasia.
What, you know, why? Like
and you think that would resonate in Los Angeles?
What
you
was
think
the
they
context
would,
behind
it?
Yeah.
I don't know why it'll resonate. That's your
is
job.
It going to be that
I'm
cold?
I'm trying to help you.
Why wouldn't we just say, like, Diddy Reese or something? That's it, more L.A.
I don't even know what that means.
It's an ice cream shop in Westwood.
Okay.
Diddy Reese.
How about this? If the roof is open for that game-winning play,
right,
I might go down that road.
Frusenglasia?
Yeah, I mean, the commish said today that, you know, they would like to showcase the fact that the roof here in Atlanta opens.
I like that. So that would be a lot of fun.
If he does that, I may laugh on air because that'd be funny.
You two would be the only ones.
Yes.
Everybody else would be like, what did
what
he just say?
On?
NFL Films is like, who hired this guy?
You don't have to tell us what it is. But if the Steelers, I almost said. If the Rams.
It's always Steelers. With the
yeah,
Steelers.
We knew it was coming back to the Steelers eventually, right?
We're going to find a way.
The Patriots have played the Rams in a Super Bowl. The Rams and Steelers played in a Super Bowl, too. It's interesting that you might want to bring up.
This is the question, though. Because,
you might want to bring up Tom Jarrett, a.k.a. Warren Beatty, beats the Steelers in overtime in a Super Bowl in Heaven Can Wait. I don't know if that has
you might want to bring that up.
I don't know. Work that into the broadcast. Well,
what
I
if
mean,
I,
there are no
what,
bad
can
ideas.
Can I give
this
JB? Can I give JB something? How about this? And this is. I'm gonna steal this from a couple people. But 19 years ago, the Rams played the Patriots in this place, in this building. Tom Brady was 24 years old. He started his legacy.
17, right? 19, they won. Yeah, I'm with you.
Now that Jared Goff.
Greatest show on turf wins 19 years ago. Tom 17. Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So they won. Yeah. So. Is it a changing of the guard? Does this young quarterback with this young coach? Because that was Belichick's second year.
I feel like that's what JB already is doing. He already did that with the whole. But his had weight to it. It sounded good.
Really?
Because that's what he already
said. How about
said.
Like
Dave, you're
the
supposed
last
to be-
time the Rams won a championship, Sean McVay was a fan. Now he's the focal point.
Oh,
okay. That I like.
I mean, now
we're
getting
somewhere.
Did
you hear the voice?
And then back it up with that foreign saying?
Frusenglasia.
Right.
Yeah. Sean McVay.
Frusenglasia.
Focal point. Like, we've got some alliteration going there. Tie it all together.
See? Long
I'm glad
pro.
We had this.
I told you, he's the greatest.
About this,
he's
Maurice.
The greatest.
Absolutely. What did you think, quickly, what did you think about the call? The call that went against the Saints and went the Rams' way. Does that have...
What call are you talking about?
Oh, stop it. Why,
I'm serious.
Why
are you talking about the non-PI?
Yes, the one that didn't happen, according to
some people. Then it wasn't a call then, right? If it didn't happen,
the call.
Yeah,
so coy, Maurice. Up on Coy Hill there.
Listen, JB's here, so I want to make sure we treat him right.
From what I've heard, the place was just... unlike anything that they've ever experienced. It got this ugly energy immediately. Does that, from what you can tell, for you guys or with the players bouncing off of them the last week and a half, does that have any weight? Does that have any significance going into this one? Or is it like, yeah, we're in the Super Bowl. Who cares?
I think it only gets written in retrospect, maybe. You know, win or lose, I could see that being an angle that is taken.
Right.
Either like a ball don't lie or like an asterisk sort of situation. But in terms of do the Rams deserve to be here or not, there's no question in my mind that they're deserving. They were the NFC champions.
I agree. And by the way, the thing that people fail to look at history as a point of reference of how these things will go. The Tuck rule does not render
the greatest dynasty ever.
The greatest dynasty ever. That's what people
but
talk about.
But it's still a nerve in Oakland, just like the non-call.
Fair. Adds
will
to the lore.
Forever be a nerve in New Orleans. Yeah.
Do you guys agree with me about this, that the Rams are, that football season, like life itself, people always say it's short, but it also can be quite long in many ways. And I feel like the length of the season has obscured what happened in the first 10 or so weeks of the season, which was the Rams were the unquestioned best team. I mean, the Chiefs were exciting, and who knows how far they can go without a defense. But it was fairly clear that the Rams were the best team in the NFL. And I just think people got distracted by other storylines.
But that happens. I mean, every year there's one of those teams that gets off to that kind of start. And it's not about the start. It's about the finish.
The one game that we thought where it was kind of – what we personally were talking about was that first Arizona Cardinals game where they didn't get past the 50. And I was like, oh, my God,
right.
These dudes are actually, like, really good. You don't allow an NFL team to get past the 50 all game until late in the fourth quarter. That's when I felt like we were like, okay, this team is special. Then they had some injuries, but then they bounced back and they were –
I'm with you there, and it kind of got me thinking, okay, if the Patriots are the dynasty of the past, right, whether or not they win another one this weekend – their run is never going to be duplicated, I don't think, in the modern NFL. But which team from this point forward has the best chance of following their blueprint, of combining coach and quarterback into, say, a decade of sustained success? I think the Rams are one of those teams. I think Kansas City is one of those teams.
I would say it's the 54-51.
As I go into Sunday, I'm wondering, is this the only time And this is the only time I use the word we. Is this the only time we will ever be here with the Los Angeles Rams? I would like to think not. I would like to think that they're going to be a semi-regular presence in this final game, as long as the season has been, to your previous point.
Well, listen, J.B. Long, we've wanted to sit down with you through the season here, and we appreciate you cutting out some time for us in the big week.
Well, I had to big time you once, at least once. They always say, turn down your first check invitation because then he's going to, you know, he'll come knocking.
Now you're going to be up for a Shecky Award.
Yeah.
So be careful. The Shecky Awards are crazy.
I just want to be on the green screen the next time I stop by, please.
I would like that. We'll work it out. Next, maybe that's what we can do to fill the bill for you in the offseason. We can have you guys do play-by-play and analysis of things that aren't football.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good idea.
Maybe handsome.
It's a beautiful thing. JB has to go though because our bosses came.
But before I do leave, if any other foreign food references come to mind between now and Sunday night, just let me know.
Listen, I think Fruzenglage is right. And by the way, I like those understated calls. If you win the thing, if you win the Super Bowl, the world champions of 2018, the Los Angeles Rams. That's a Vince Scully kind of call, you know. I know. I'm telling you your business, and you're giving me the eye. Did you see the look that Long gave
me? He has to go. He has to go.
Don't tell me what to do.
You go.
This is why I try not to listen to too many other broadcasts.
That didn't ruin anything.
Check's going to be in my head no matter what happens. Fourth quarter, like inside the 2-minute warning, be like,
wait, what am I supposed to say? What did he say?
Understated.
Something about the world champions.
JB, my man, thank you.
Don't be mad at me. I hope that didn't ruin anything.
I could never be mad at you.
Oh, JB
okay,
Long.
We have some unfinished business.
Come on over here, man.
Can I?
Yeah, come on in. You don't have a team. So, you know, I think it's only right that you join
one of the LA teams.
Not one.
Handsome, that is absolutely
team in LA.
Right.
It's time, man. It's time to change.
You know, not permanently. I've said that this is like a 1-year hiatus.
My
loyalty is up for grabs right now.
It's not up for grabs. It should have been taken. Listen, on your 1-year hiatus, you're going to end up working at the stadium that they're going to play at, right?
Right.
We'll all be at the stadium.
Yep.
So we'll be getting exclusives whenever we want. Hopefully we'll have a nice gym there so me and JB can work out a little bit more. Because it's so hard right now because we live so far away from each other.
I'm so sad you didn't cry then. That would have been just the best.
It would have been, but he's the greatest. But not only that, I mean, everybody wants to be a winner.
Yeah, no, I mean, I do, and I haven't really experienced that as an NFL fan.
You don't
want
to be like Reggie Bush, and I don't know if you guys can find it, but like guys like Reggie Bush, after a loss, they take their shirts off and they take pictures and they post them on the internet so people can console them. We don't want to do that stuff.
You're still not happy about that whole UCLA USC thing. Wait, right?
We were undefeated against them. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, but the shirt off picks.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we're a little too old for that.
Yeah.
A couple of things. First of all, when you mentioned shirts and jerseys, it reminds me I did talk with one Kevin Demoff about an hour ago.
Uh-oh.
And I got in his ear about uniforms. I said, I've been wanting to kibitz with you for some time now. As, by the way, the Gerald Everett touchdown, yes, at the end of Super 54-51 airs on a monitor nearby. We talked about the uniforms. He's a fan of the gold. He said, I don't know where it came from that I like the white horns better, right, than the gold. He said, I've been pushing to get this to happen. He said, what if we go to a Super Bowl? He said, you know, I told the league, if we get to a Super Bowl, you don't want us wearing those ugly uniforms. And they agreed. And that's how they, yep, got to wear these ones. I told him.
But wait, you call that gold?
What? No. In fact, he said, I don't like the gold. I mean,
the yellow.
I call it Notre Dame gold. Yeah, it's like that bronzy color, whatever it is.
You guys in these uniforms, what are we really going to – what is – you know what the real true question is, Shaq?
Yeah, tell me.
What have you eaten down here?
Oh, I thought you were going to say point. I smell. What did you just eat?
No. Like, this is the South. You get some great food now. What have you in your belly? You
know, the culinary tour.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no, there really has not been any opportunity. I don't know. How about you, Maurice? I hear people say Atlanta's food is not its main virtue.
No, I'll say this. I'll say this much. I was just hanging out with Arthur Blank.
Okay, that's a huge name, bro. Let's talk about that a little bit.
We were talking about the prices that he cut in his stadium and to make it affordable for people, right? So at the Super Bowl, where most people probably raise their prices for, they're going to be like $2 hot dogs, $3 nachos, like affordable things for us to eat.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Now,
but what about before Sunday? Can we eat
that
before Sunday?
That is the key, before Sunday.
Because I'm going to be hungry by then.
What are you looking for? Because I saw you eat like a salmon and salad, and I was like, Jack, that's not what we talked about.
It was scrap.
You're being selfish.
Why?
Selfish. You're trying to better yourself, and I don't like it. Don't do that. You got to have that pot belly. And
Maurice.
That's not going anywhere, Maurice.
Yeah, it is.
Me.
He's trying to get
at his age, there's no way of shifting
he's
that
trying
guy.
To get rid of it. He's over here eating salads with salmon. I'm like, what's going on? Who is this guy?
Let's take him out. Let's make him eat some candied bacon again.
Oh, that was so good.
Remember that candied bacon? We're in Chicago at a big table, and it was a fancy steakhouse, and the appetizer that they serve to everybody is this, like, inch-by-inch thick piece of delicious bacon. And Maurice said it was delicious, and I said, "Oh, good! I want to try mine." And I looked down, and mine was gone, and Maurice had already eaten mine.
That's why you don't. That's why you learn your lesson. Don't sit next to Maurice.
That's why you don't look away.
Sit next to Maurice. Sit opposite him.
Yeah, don't look away, Shaq. That's how it was in my household. It's fend for yourself. They put the food on the table. We just had to fend for ourselves.
I know. I just had two girls, two sisters there with me. I was going to out eat them.
Yeah,
no matter
that
what.
Wasn't going
to
happen.
That was fine. In fact, I used to get in trouble because Mo Damashek would she would give fruit cups to me and my little sister Debbie, and then when Mo would leave the room, I would make Debbie eat my fruit cup because I didn't like it.
So let me ask you this. I got to switch. This is the last thing I'm going to ask because I'm going to have to go.
And then she caught me, and I've gotten
trouble. I'm hungry.
All right, go eat.
I haven't eaten yet. Prediction for the game.
But you're not going to like it.
I don't care, but go ahead.
Look, I was just working out this morning. I've been to 10 Super Bowls. About 9 of them, the Patriots have won. It's hard for me to sit there and think anything different's going to happen. Right. All of those games, with the exception of last year, it's been like a 4 to 6 point spread. So I would say, I'm going to say the Patriots win by 4.
Okay.
27-23.
I'm not talking to him anymore. Shaq, your turn.
Fine. Yeah, the Rams are now not allowed to be your team.
Now you're done.
Whoa.
You don't want me.
Yeah, now you have to go to the Chargers.
Maybe you will want me.
No, we don't.
I'll say, I've said it repeatedly the last week and a half, and I'll say it to you now. Final score, Patriots 24, Rams 34. The best team of 2018.
Wow.
Remains the best team of 2018. And unlike, the difference is this. First of all, the decisive moments in December and January, if you can boil them way down. One, when the Chargers lost at home,
to the Ravens. That's
that
one
ruined
thing.
Everything. Yes. Yep.
And when Deshaun Watson and company lost blew it to the Eagles, because that would have put Philly on. I mean, would have put New England on the road for three rounds and for six straight seasons. If you don't have a bye, you don't go to the Super Bowl. And so if that follows course, it wouldn't be the Patriots. Who knows who it might have been. The thing that rises above all of that is, for me, the Patriots. So things broke a little their way. But also, for whatever you can say about the Chiefs and the Chargers banged up as they were going in there, we're not built to stop a power run game. The Rams, with Ndamukong Suh playing the way he is, and with Wade Phillips, who does historically, go back through the history, I'm not saying he shuts him down. Who shuts down Tom Brady entirely? No one. But he has a knack for slowing him down.
Mm-hmm.
He knows to take.
Great check.
Well, here's the other thing, too. I refer you back, and that defense in Denver was a little more talented than the Rams are, but nevertheless, a lot of high-end pieces here. And what I always remember from that Denver title game was New England just wanted to hit him with that wheel route because it was uncovered. That was right. The one thing that they couldn't get. They couldn't take away everything. So that was the one thing they left exposed, but they were able to get pressure just enough that Brady couldn't hold on to it for that extra tick. I think the Rams are built to be able to get to Brady in time to do that. And if they can't run the ball, if Michelle can't get rolling and you make it on Brady for three quarters, I think the Patriots are in trouble.
Yeah. Well, you know, this was like going so well until Handsome Hank opened his mouth.
I know, that was rude of him. You know, did
you know who was sitting next to you?
I did.
That's
but
the
you
voice.
Know, it's not supposed to be. We don't all have to agree every time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, can I just say one thing that I think is pretty cool? Remember, like, what is it? 3 years, 4 years ago, we all sat down together and did a podcast for the first time. Yeah. It's pretty awesome that Maurice is now calling the Super Bowl.
Whatever it is, three years.
I think that's really cool.
It
so
was
well
fun.
Done, you, Maurice.
Thank you. You know what? You're almost all right.
Almost. I'm trying to get back in your good books.
No, it's okay. We'll go to dinner tonight and we'll figure it
out. Okay.
As a vain person, you know how all that hits me. Which
yeah,
because
like, you brought it together.
And DJ and
quick.
JB Long and Maurice.
Are
I know
you
all
ready
four
for this?
Of those guys, and they're all delightful people.
Let's
it's
do
nice
it right
say.
Now. Tamposi, you get up here. Here we go. This is going to be. No,
what's
no, no. Stand
happen?
Right here. Where's the camera?
All around you.
Don't shake.
Rams
how long
back.
Is this
Tam
going to go?
Tamposi is the Patriots. Well,
let's call. Let's
blinks.
Call this. Let's call this stare off.
Tamposi.
Tamposi.
He goes. I blink all
intense.
The time.
He goes. It's a stare off, and then.
I mean, it's like boxing. They do this.
You can't blink.
Oh, I see.
Like,
oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay. Okay.
I mean, this is a great picture to put out
I
there.
I blink
like,
all the time.
I got you. I got
I don't
you.
Have to blink.
No, you can.
Blink that one.
Hey, you're
kind of
short.
It's all right.
Wow, this is yeah, this is intense.
Maurice doesn't mind if you have some fun with his weight. He doesn't like the height
okay.
jokes.
The height jokes.
The height jokes are not.
They're this
one.
Old.
Yeah.
So thank you.
So are you?
I just wanted to bring you up there for that, just so we can get a picture. Get a picture of us staring at each
yeah.
other.
There's cameras.
Maurice.
Go Rams.
Maurice, whisper in her ear, and the people hear it in the microphone too. What's the final score of the game?
Go Rams.
I can't do that. I'm calling it.
Oh, you're not allowed to pick the game, huh?
I mean, I would pick.
You're going to say the Rams are going to win.
Yeah, but I can't pick the score.
Was my analysis keen?
It was pretty close.
Yeah?
I think if the Rams start fast, then the game goes their way. If they don't, like the Chiefs, like the Patriots did to the Chiefs and the Patriots did to the Chargers, and then we'll have the Rams in the last two games and they haven't started fast, you're going to have one of those 2.5-hour games and it ain't going to
hey,
be good.
Just think of me when you're up there, okay?
No. I'm not. All right, I got to go eat, guys.
All right, Maurice.
Bye,
it's
Maurice.
Great to see you as always.
Some people are going to watch, listen to Nance and Sims, Nance and
no,
Romo call the game. I would listen to Maurice.
I
Maurice
do encourage
and Long.
You to listen, yes, especially the Angelinos out there should turn down the TV
yeah.
and listen to your home call there by J.B. Long and Maurice Jones-Drew, who truly do a great job on it. You
they
know?
Really are. They're the best.
Really?
Well, they're the best Rams.
I'm going to tell
they're the
money.
Best Rams. No, they're the best calling Rams games.
All right.
Like, unchallenged.
All right. If the Rams and the Chargers were both in this Super Bowl, as I forecasted in the preseason, I came 120 minutes shy of that prediction coming to pass. Well, I mean, I got like halfway there. Anyhow, which radio team would you listen to?
I would watch the TV broadcast. It would be too tough for
It'd
me to choose.
Hard.
Or I'd go to the stadium and watch it.
Emma said that she would listen to DJ and Money.
Emma and Money have quite, they're pretty tight.
Yeah.
Eddie said that he would listen to Maurice because Money is always teasing him.
So I guess it's a draw. All right, yeah. We have a lot of good stuff coming up for you, including, like I already told you, Melvin Gordon. Oh, Maurice makes a special appearance in that one, too. He doesn't like that Melvin Gordon isn't rooting for the Rams. Why would Melvin Gordon root for the Rams? Look at
Whoa, hold on a second.
The handsome devil.
Look at Dan Helly. I don't want to get your makeup on me, Dan, but yeah, let's hug.
Hey, what's going on? Helly saw the must-win game stuff, and he enjoyed it, right?
I did. I tweeted out, I heart you,
yeah,
Dave
he did.
Damashek.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah. I thought that was a little over the top, but
no,
I do. I love him.
Because he's jealous.
He's thoroughly entertaining.
Can I tell you something else, Helly? Did you see, I want to, while we're patting me on the back, or while I'm patting me on the back, I want to tell you, I want to make sure the world understands, the Wade Phillips dressing like his father, Bum, that's a campaign I've been on personally for 3 months now, and it was just heaven to see him go out there dressed like his father coming off the airplane. And while it might seem like a little bit of a joke to be, I mean, it's something fun about it, but it actually meant something to Wade to pay homage to his father. So he was sincere, and he thanked me there. I don't care if the world knows it, actually, but now I've just made the world aware of it. That was a great thing.
You really do care if the world knows.
Yeah,
clearly.
I kind of do.
Kinda want the world
I
know
do,
that.
But yeah, you're right. I do.
And
but
it
also
was a really cool thing. But to be fair, you were wanting him to wear the gear on the sideline.
Yes, but
and
I
go against Dave's NFL rules.
Dave doesn't live in reality.
Right,
Dan,
that's a good
so
point.
That's not true. Well, guess what? You know who also lives in that phony
Antonio
reality?
Brown.
Kev. Okay. Yeah. And here's another one. I don't disagree.
Let's not start
and
that
Kevin Demoff. Kevin Demoff said that he actually contacted Nike to see if they could put a swoosh on a hat and on the jacket so that he could wear it on the sideline, and Nike said they could not. So
Nike said they couldn't do that?
Isn't that a bummer?
Come on, Nike.
Maybe they'll meet about it in the offseason and figure something out. Anyhow, how are you, Dan Helly?
Couldn't be better doing the show right next to you guys today with Michael Robinson. Tiffany Blackman stopped by. Mike Garofolo from our fine stable of reporters going to be here as well. I think we have some other special guests stopping in. Jay Ajayi is going to be visiting with us in a few minutes.
Fellow Brit.
Soon to be free agent.
Yes.
Running back.
Yes.
Jay Ajayi. And he's just 25 years old. I feel like he's been around forever. He's only 25.
He's 25?
Isn't that crazy?
He's a youngster coming into the league. Yeah.
And, of course, he's going into free agency coming off that torn ACL. So his value is going to drop a little bit. But I think somebody could get a really good deal with Jay Ajayi. Mm-hmm.
What's cool about being here on Radio Row every year, and I don't really get tired of seeing it because I happen to enjoy the subject matter that we all get to talk about for a living, is stuff like Saquon Barkley and his parents walking by, and they bump into Michael Robinson, another Penn State legend, and I'm standing there, fly on the wall, listening to them talk. What a season you had, young buck, and bang, oh no, but it's all about you because you know they're back and forth
right.
And praising each other, and then seeing the family. That kind of stuff is the best.
Michael Robinson was actually just talking about running into Saquon Barkley, and he's always working. If you look over at Michael Robinson, he's Instagram living, he's tweeting, he's talking to his foundation on the phone in between hits. That man is so incredibly busy. He actually reminds me a little bit of you.
Well,
it's a nonstop process,
just making
Dave
things
Dimashek.
Happen.
Well, I'll tell you this. What do you guys think about this? My, I always say, but well, both of you are handsome devils. This is really a dead heat, actually. And I get it. I still give it to Helly. Ooh, maybe we have time. Maybe we have time to do the elephant in the room.
I want to do a elephant, a special Super Bowl edition of elephant in the room.
We haven't done that in a while.
Maybe we'll get to that in a minute. But so similar to that, I was I did my weekly thing on Good Morning Football on Saturday, and my girlfriend was watched as they.
That's a humble brag, but carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, we use what we use.
Right,
to,
okay.
You know,
let's go.
Get the right mood. Like, I just got to watch. Let me watch 2 minutes of myself on TV, all right?
Don't get yourself in trouble. Gronk, opening night, got himself in trouble. Don't pull a Gronk.
Pull a Gronk.
Just go. Just okay. Go. Continue.
So we watched the thing, and then as it comes out of it, Michael Robinson and Steve Smith and Colleen Wolf are sitting there and talking about what I had just said. And she and my girlfriend said, "Who's the guy on the left?" And I said, "Michael Robinson." She said, "Yeah, he's very good looking." How would you react?
The last minute of TV that she'd watched, where do you think you ranked in terms of?
No reaction to anything I had to say.
Right.
It was just a comment. Boy, that guy's very nice looking. And I had her sleep in the garage that night.
That was generous.
Did she at least have a cot?
I don't know. I just closed the door behind her and said, "Good luck." You know,
Michael Robinson. I'm trying to remember the last person my wife said that about, and it probably was either David Carr, because everybody loves David Carr because he's a handsome devil, or Brady Quinn. Brady Quinn. Those two guys, when they come into the makeup room, the ladies swoon. I mean, literally, you can see jaws drop and eyes get bigger.
Yeah, I think that's true. David Carr, definitely. There have been a couple of times where he walks past and, you know, your heart just
He's one of those guys that his charms are lost on me. I always go back to, like, what about Helly and what about Patrick Claibon? Because those are the guys to me that are super handsome.
I don't know how this always comes up. And, you know,
because you're nice looking.
I find out about this from my good friend and one of your loyal listeners, Chris Vlahos, who I believe has sent you some cookies or some candy from his family's shop in Nashville. And he always informs me about everything. Because I just listen to a little bit later. You know, I hear it kind of
You
can't jump in the off-season, and you'll probably listen to every week through the season.
It just takes me a while to get there because you produce so much content.
Generosity persona.
I do have to go back to work. I know you guys are going to be going forever. I just wanted to stop by and say hi. Thank you for having me on.
Well, go ahead, handsome. A Super Bowl heli fit in the room.
Okay, Dan, can you tell us, you can expose. In fact, why don't you talk about the non-call and, you know, see if you want to get anything off your chest and you know, talk about the elephant in the room, something that people won't address, but that you can because your name sounds a little bit like elephant. And that's the only thing that gives you license to do this.
This bit would be the best if it was just completely uncensored. Yeah. If
it would be the most wildly inappropriate thing. The end of the show that you're on, it's like, okay, last 2 minutes, you know what we do here. The elephant in the room, this is something that no one else is talking about
Outrageous and offensive things.
I got it. And it happened yesterday. This is a perfect elephant in the room. And it's a former New Orleans Saint. And it's a coworker of ours, an extremely handsome man, Reggie Bush.
Yes.
I'm coming down to go to dinner at our hotel where I think half of us are staying there. And I peek around the corner into the workout facility. It's a very small room. And I notice a gentleman working out with his shirt off. And I'm like, hold on, what is going on here? And I look again. And it's Reggie Bush working out by himself with his shirt off.
That's too much.
I wanted to go in and call him to the carpet, but I was in a little bit of a hurry, and I didn't get a chance to talk to Reggie. So I'm hoping all of our loyal fans of the Dave Damashek podcast can contact Reggie Bush on Twitter and say, just send me a picture of you working out with your shirt off, because it'll probably happen again today, and then again on Friday.
I feel like it probably happens every day, let's be honest. I don't think Reggie works out or does much with his shirt on unless he has to be wearing a shirt.
I thought it was a little much for the hotel gym.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good
stuff. Is that good?
That's good stuff.
That's good.
That's
Reggie's going to be mad, but whatever. He'll get over it. He's a happy guy.
All right, yes. So everyone within the sound of our voices right now, make sure you get to social media and drop Reggie Bush a line and let him know he crossed it.
Actually, maybe you could send Reggie a picture of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Like all the dudes that are working out, like with your shirt off.
Or with it on, if you want to.
I think that's to let him know that this is what he's doing to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, taste your own medicine there.
Send it to Reggie.
I love that idea.
There you go. Elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room scores again.
All right, buddy.
Have fun, Dan Helly.
Thanks, guys.
What's your final score for Sunday?
Rams 30, Patriots 27.
Handsome, what a pleasure to see you.
It's great to see you, Dave. Should we get dinner with Maurice tonight?
I'd love to get dinner at some point, that's for sure.
Okay, but you just kind of blew me off for tonight.
Well, I'm spoken for this evening. So
really?
Who are you making eyes at over there? Look at
this. It's my friend OC.
OC Umanyora. Look at Mr. Fancy Pants making eyes at people behind the camera.
Well, you know, hey, I'm just going to say hi.
Hello, OC. OC Umanyora, my friend, my mate.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You don't know what's going to happen on radio.
Well, I got to make other friends because apparently you just blew me off for dinner tonight.
Good luck. I think you and Maurice will have a wonderful meal together.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
You know how you're a remote control expert?
I know I am. I'm the world's top expert.
You should, before the Super Bowl, clean up your remote control clutter with Control Center by Carvo. You could plug in your streamer, sound system, cable or satellite, even your game console, which I know you're always on, and Control Center does it all. It simplifies your home theater so that you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use remote with voice control. That's futuristic.
Hello?
Don't fumble with different remotes or run out the clock with messy search results. Just say what you want, and Control Center will take you straight there. One universal voice remote controls it all. So all you would need to do is say, watch any given Sunday, and Control Center by Carvo does the rest. Be the MVP of your Super Bowl party, Dave, with Control Center so that you can finally get off AV duty, which I know is a drag, and bring the joy back to watching TV. I mean, when I use Control Center on my TV, I'm always able to decide, you know, hey, I really want to find that show, but I have no
idea
what...
And it understands the way you talk.
Yeah, no, well, it can understand my British accent.
Tuscaloosa native.
Exactly. So if you want to get one of these, and there's just enough time, by the way, you could shop in time for Super Bowl Sunday, get 40% off the Control Center with promo code Dave. That's D-A-V-E. That's $59.95, 40% off the regular price of $99.95. Control Center is available at caavo.com and at Best Buy. Control Center by Carvo. One remote that does it all.
All right, let's talk now to number 28 from the Los Angeles Chargers. Big breakout for him. Yeah, he had a big one in 2017. Even better in 2018. And he happened to play both the Patriots and the Rams, who are playing on Sunday. Let's hear what he thinks about that and the 2019 prospects of his team. Here comes Melvin Gordon. All right. One of my favorite guys. I said it a couple of years ago, the first time we crossed paths. I said, this is one of the most delightful characters in all my time of covering pro football. Here he is, number 28 from your Los Angeles Chargers. It's Melvin Gordon. What's happening, fella?
What's happening,
How are you? Long time
good.
No see.
I know, man. I miss you.
You don't have to anymore because I'm right next to you. You look so fancy. Look at that chain around your neck.
Yeah,
flash.
Nice, man, it's nice, man. My jeweler got me right, man.
It does
need
look,
him to make you a piece.
I would like that very much. What would be my nickname, though? Like something that is intimidating in a way? Like Flash says what people need to know about you coming in. Like what would be a good football nickname for me that says it all?
Well, you see, you don't even have to have like a name. You can have like a mic. Get a mic.
Okay. Oh, just a microphone.
Get a microphone.
Yeah, guy who never shuts up. Yeah. You know, I'll talk your ear off if you aren't careful, foes. You know? Hey, Melvin Gordon, you really did have a dynamite year. And I remember talking with you about a year ago. Your MO is, well, of course, in part because of Flash, is that you're super fast and elusive. But the fact of the matter is, and the NFL fully, but we talked about this, I think, a year and a half or two ago, legitimately. But I think the NFL now understands that Melvin Gordon's a banger who punishes the defender more than the defender punishes him.
See, it's true. And see, Cavs don't make a difference with that.
You remember. I didn't know if you remember. That's right.
Cavs don't make a difference. See, you can run hard with small calves.
Yeah. Well, it's a plague on the Chargers organization. Play-by-play man Matt Money Smith suffers from the same ailment as you. Skinny calves. But I don't think he could run over any NFL defenders.
No,
like
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Let's talk about it. It was a great season overall. Let's start with the bad part, the end of the season.
Yeah.
What happened in Foxborough, by your estimation? Because you guys didn't lose. I mean, they just, they pretty much at halftime was like, well, that's the end of that season.
Well, you know, I think we started out slow on both sides of the ball. And, they made us one-dimensional. They took away the run game. They took me out the game early. You know, they scored, we scored. They scored, they stopped us. They scored again, they stopped us. They scored again, they stopped us. Now it was, 35-7?
When it was 21-7, if you can recall that moment in the game, you guys have the ball. And I remember in that moment, my tweets always are super important, and I assume most players and coaches are following in real time to understand what they should do next. Mm-hmm. I tweeted, though, the sky is not falling, Chargers, at 21-7. You just got to start giving it to 28 here.
Yeah.
And they did on first down, and you made 8 yards. And then the next play, Phil had you open in space. Yeah. and he just flat out missed you. Yeah. But if he had hit you, I mean, did you have nothing but green? I mean, you would have gotten down in the red zone at minimum.
I'd have got the first probably, but you know, it happens. It's a lot. He has to see.
I'm not putting it on old man Phil there. I'm just saying old man Rivers. But I mean, that moment, the game was not out of reach at that point. Did you guys kind of feel that way?
We did. You know, we always feel like we in the game until it hits 0-0. But you know, until it's all four zeros across the thing. But we got down bad, pretty bad. And when we had to pass it every down, it's easy to play that as a defense, you know, because I'm out the game. I felt terrible because, you know, I worked so hard. We worked so hard. And me personally, my goal was to get to the playoffs and, you know, got there. And then I felt helpless, you know, because I got taken out the game.
By your estimation, what gives with Belichick? I mean, what voodoo does that guy work that – and no one else can do. I mean, you saw the Chiefs game, I'm sure. And was that, or were you still?
No, I seen it.
I mean, how do you figure that they can take away Tyreek Hill and make him nothing in the game?
They did.
And Travis Kelce save one big catch there. How does that guy do it?
I don't know, man.
It's
but
weird,
I seen it first.
Right?
Yeah, I seen it. Yeah, he has a great game plan. Not just. I mean, they run a great scheme over there. You know, and you can't make mistakes. I think if, you know, D4 is my guy, but if he don't go off sides, that's game. And I think what separates the Patriots from everybody else is that's the Patriots, they wouldn't be off sides, you know?
And I guess that's a fair point, but yeah, it is crazy. Now, speaking of off sides and related matters, one of the sore spots for me as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan is when Melvin Gordon and company paid a visit to Pittsburgh, PA. You didn't even play in the game.
No.
But you remember it, though,
right?
Oh,
yeah. Facts. Of course. Remember we winning, too.
There were some lousy calls in that game.
It was some calls, but you guys still had a chance to win it. You guys were still up now.
Well, the play of the season was Sean Davis. I mean, was Joe Hayden intercepting Phil in the end zone? I mean, that would have swung the AFC.
Yeah.
Because Hayden picks off Rivers in the end zone.
Got hit.
And Sean Davis trucks him.
Hit him. And then Keenan caught it. Good job, Slay. Good job, boy.
No, nothing. No, that's rear view mirror.
Yeah,
come
rub
on,
it
be
in.
Classier than that,
rub
Melvin.
No, we got to rub it in, man.
Do you now feel, because that would have made the Steelers, they would have won the division, they would have maybe even gotten a bye. Do you now feel, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves, 6 years in a row, if you don't have a bye, you don't go to the Super Bowl. Is that the conversation as you guys walk out of the Chargers locker room into the offseason? Next year, we got to get a bye.
Yeah. Because we want to stay home. We want to stay home. That's the main thing. We get that bye. We know we went on out. We have home field advantage. And I think that plays a part because we had to travel to Baltimore. We had to come back. Then we had to travel to New England. Like, that takes a toll on you, man. So we'd rather get that bye week, that first seed, and we don't have to worry about none of that flying. People had to come to us.
Well, a couple of questions about that I was going to ask you. What is worse ultimately, the travel or being in L.A., getting used to? And, in fact, I was talking about that in the run-up to the Foxborough game when they were saying it's going to be really cold there. I said, everybody keeps saying, oh, the Chargers are a warm-weather city. I kept saying, not their runners, man.
Yeah,
Justin Jackson and Melvin Gordon are Big Ten guys. They are no strangers to that. What affects you more, the cold or the travel?
The travel. The cold doesn't bother. It wasn't cold in New England. I'm used to that. We got heated seats. In Wisconsin, we didn't have heated seats. We had to stand in front of the blower, so having heated seats is dynamite for me. So it's more to travel, honestly, traveling there. It's draining, man.
As far as the home field advantage that you mentioned, it's something a lot of people talk about. What's it like being in the stadium when it's generally – is every game basically like a 50-50 kind of thing?
Every game was more like a 50-50, but that last one we played was like 70-30, almost 80-20 Chargers fans. And that's why I wish we would have had – you know, we would have beat Baltimore and we would have been able to get that first seed because that's – I was like, okay, if we could bring this to the playoffs, if you guys come support us like this – that'd be dynamite for us.
Yeah, that would be cool. And then, again, in just a little while, you're going to be in the new digs there, and you've been talking about that a little bit, that you don't want the Rams to win for obvious reasons. Do you feel – are you getting any heat, or is it not any – you're not getting any real grief from anybody?
Drew just gave me a little heat, but, I mean, it is what it is. You call me a hater, it is what it is. I don't like any team, honestly. I don't like the Patriots neither. That's just – but, you know – I like the Patriots a little more than I like the Rams, so that's just what it
is. Right, because they're your neighbor. And yeah. I never understood these people who – are you one of these guys who, when it comes to the Big Ten, people always I root against Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio State and everybody else when they're playing in a bowl game or otherwise, and people say, but, dude, it's good for the – what do I care? That's I don't want to see my neighbor do well. They bullied my team around. I went to Indiana. I don't want to see you guys go on and do well. I want to see you lose just the way you made us lose during the season, right?
Yeah, well, majority of the time we beat most of the team, so I don't care who wins. But I do like – in that sense, I do like – I'm different because I do like seeing the Big Ten win in the bowl when they facing the SEC because I hate the SEC. That's all they talk about. So I like when the Big Ten, but, you know, we usually kind of lose except, you know, Wisconsin, Ohio State.
How do you – I'm one thing that is a bit – and one of the many differences between pro football players and loser Dave is not just the physical ability, but you have a different level of confidence, but also it seems like you're able to let go of stuff because you have to let go of them. Oh, that loss plagues me kind of feeling. But at what point, what's the game that you feel like, aside from the one up in Foxborough, that, man, if we would have had that one, I look at, I'm not trying to answer it for you, but I look back at two, I feel like you had the Chiefs beaten week one. You guys could have won that
Denver.
One. If you do, in Denver?
First Denver game.
That's a good one.
That's
yeah.
the one that hurts because
yep.
it was
that's a good call.
I was feeling it. We had a play where it was first, you know, I got 5 yards. I was feeling it. I'm like, oh yeah, we had them. And then the next play, I ran the wrong play, and then it just went downhill. That's a game we should have won that we shouldn't have lost, and we did. And that ended up in the long run, kind of taking away our number one seed. I feel like.
I mean, we talked a year ago about this, that there was nothing lacking on the Chargers, you know, top to bottom, if you got some luck in terms of health. And you kind of sort of did by Charger standards, but yeah, not really in not global really, standards.
Not really at all.
I mean, but it was better than it was in
it
years.
It has been.
And you made some kicks, so it seems like things are going all right.
Kicker. We got a kicker.
And
shout
we
out
did
money
say,
bet.
We did say that Derwin James would be the best player in the draft. I kept pounding the table for that, and I said that, and by the way, he felt like the missing piece for what
yeah,
you lack.
Yeah.
What now needs to happen for the Chargers for you to get that number one seed?
Well, you know, we just got, you know, maybe get another corner. We get another corner in there. We lost Jason. Hopefully he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if you get him and Hayward
player.
Back there.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah,
King.
Man.
And
no, not to discredit those other guys, but Jason's a, you know, he's a different type of guy out there. Let's just be honest.
I watched him take away Antonio Brown. That's
completely,
something nobody does.
Completely.
That's something almost nobody
completely.
Does.
Right? And he made me a believer after that. But, you know, you get guys like him back. We lost Denzel. Now, let me tell you, he's one of my favorite Chargers to watch. I'm not going to be honest. The way he hits guys is I mean, it's just unrealistic, but he just has to stay healthy.
You two colliding. I mean, yeah, he's the unsung piece. I always it's the Jenga theory I have. If you take the wrong piece out of the Jenga, the whole thing implodes. I say that about the Chargers defense. You take Perryman out of there. That run defense is very different.
So let me give you a stat. I don't think for this year, but last year, I think when we had Denzel in the game, we was top 10 and stopping the run. When he was out, we was, I think, 32 or something like that, the last in the league and stopping the run.
He
makes a difference.
Yeah.
He makes a difference. I like him, man, and I came in with him. So.
And he's got one of those crazy necks.
Yeah, man.
You know?
God, dog. He looks like a, like you know those Under Armour mannequins?
Yes.
He looks like one of them, just a little shorter. But
he kind of does. His neck... If your calves could be the size of his neck, then we'd really be cooking with gas.
Really be on the something.
Then you'd even be maybe a little bit better.
Yeah.
but you're doing very well. I'm, you know, So what do the Chargers have to do? What if the Rams win the Super Bowl? Yeah. Where do you go from here? I guess you got to win it all.
We got to win it next year.
Simple as that.
We have to. Otherwise, we're going to be, I guess, they're going to be the Lakers and we're going to be the Clippers in a sense.
You know, can I give you an idea? I know that the organization hears it a lot, but you got juice within the building. Maybe you could talk to old man Rivers about pushing this as well. This is not jive. You guys shouldn't be the L.A. Chargers. You should be the Hollywood Chargers.
That don't sound bad.
Because that creates the distinction that you're looking for.
Yeah.
L.A. this, and by the way, you both wear blue and gold, which is nice for color scheme inside the stadium.
True.
But still, if you guys, then you distinct, or, I mean, go SoCal. What about the SoCal Chargers?
Something, huh?
I don't know.
I wouldn't mind a little different differentiality in that, because I don't want anything to do with the Rams. Nothing, name, nothing, so.
All right, now this is what Maurice was talking about.
I'm a hater, but it's okay. I like the players, though. It's not like I hate on Todd.
Hang out with them?
With Todd, every once in a while.
Do you?
Me and Todd Link.
That's like when you hear about WWE, like, wait, those guys are rivals in the ring, and they're driving around together?
Yeah.
That's not cool. So, wait, who do you hang out with on the Rams?
Todd.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised to hear that. He's another delightful fella.
He's cool, man. He's a cool dude. So it's not, when I say I want them to lose, it's not like I want him to play bad. I think Aaron Donald is the best NFL player in the game.
That's right.
I give credit when it's due. So I think they got great players. I'm really cool with Brandon Cooks. We went to a high school all-star game together. So me and him are close. And so it's not like I, you know, have any bad blood against them. I just want them to play great and lose.
The only thing about Todd Gurley that I'll say is, and people make fun of his last name, but Todd is one of that's a weird name for a baby. You know, like if you have he's so cute. Look at him. What's his name? Todd. What? That's a weird. Actually, now
I don't know many Todds,
Yeah, it's actually a weird name for a grown-up man, too. You know? It's not. That's like one of those ones that there's no winners in that.
That's why you go by TG.
That's probably
TG400.
That's it. All right, 28. What a pleasure to catch up with you once again. Maurice, he doesn't want it. He doesn't get it. He's one of these people. He's a prima donna fancy pants. He's not a regular guy like you and me. All right, what we'll do in the offseason, you talk to Ingram.
Okay.
Let's do the M&Ms already.
Okay, we need to. We really do.
And one last question. Did you get your Melvin's record?
Yeah, I got it hanging up in my locker.
You do. I heard tale that was the case. I'm happy. I still got it up there. I gave one to Ingram, and I said, make sure you give this one to Gordon. I'm glad to hear he did it. He's a man of honor. And a man of great repute and football dominance, running the football. Don't try to tackle him unless you want to take some punishment in doing it. The great Melvin Gordon, everybody.
Yeah, man. I'll let your boy.
Yes, and even here in Atlanta, Georgia, we always will make time to talk about the melodrama on the banks of the Three Rivers. Number 84, who knows where he'll be. Number 26, pretty sure he's not going to be there. Number 7 will be, and so too will be number 19, the very personable star of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster. All right, look who it is, everybody. Number 19. He's one of already the biggest stars in all of pro football, not just because of how he footballs either. You got to be following him on social media. It is Juju Smith-Schuster. What's happening, man? How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Just glad to be here. It's been a busy morning, so yeah.
Now, Juju, that's got swag, right?
Yeah, it's a very unique name. It's kind of like LeBron, Kobe, you know.
Boy, someone feels good about themselves. So in other words, you're a one-name star at this point already. I can't disagree. If you say Juju, nobody's thinking of anybody other than Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, everybody's thinking about Juju when it comes to athlete. Now, people will say Juju on a beat, which I get a lot. I take that into consideration, but majority of the time it's Juju Smith-Schuster.
Well, listen, I like it. Now let's get into it because this is what everybody likes to talk about. You know it. Listen, we got to talk about it, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Let's not avoid it. Let's not jive each other. Let's shoot straight for the next couple of minutes here. The Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, I don't know what to make of the season now that we get a few weeks of, away from it. I know that a lot of people want to sell the sky is falling narrative. But I can't get over that a play here and a play there, and, you know, in New Orleans, if not for a couple of bad calls, and all the people in New Orleans are complaining about the bad call in the title game, I feel like if you guys would have gotten a call in that game, you would have stood as the most dangerous team heading into January. You would have vanquished the Patriots. You would have won in New Orleans. And then the sky's the limit. How say you?
Same. I think, honestly, there's been man, it's tough. You know, a couple calls, you know, between the refs. I mean, you talk about in the NFC title game. That's tough, you know, already for them. But, yeah, I think we had a great team. I think, yeah, we started off pretty fast and then kind of had a bumpy road with a couple losses. But going into the playoffs, you know, we should have had an opportunity. Now we depend on the Browns to beat the Baltimore, and obviously that doesn't come out the way we want that to come out. But, man, it is what it is. You got to live and learn from it, and you just got to keep moving forward for the next season.
To me, and there's been a fair amount of criticism, I'm not trying to jam you up. Obviously, you're a player for Mike Tomlin. The criticism to me is he knows how the virtue of him is backs to the wall. He really knows how to rally you guys. He did it last year under adverse circumstances in Cincinnati. That game that you rallied and came back to one, I thought that's Coach Tomlin's best, at his best. And same goes for beating the Patriots and then just about beating New Orleans. The knock, I guess, would be losing to the Raiders and games like that. Do you see that as a consistent issue? Why is that an issue in Pittsburgh?
Man, honestly, if you're in the NFL long enough, you'll know that it doesn't matter, you know, what team you are. You could be 2-10. I mean, you're a great NFL team. Obviously, they have the best of the best, you know, on their team, you know, playing for them. And, yeah, you know, we fell short against the Raiders. We blew the league against the Chargers, and we fell short against the Broncos. So, and it's tough times like that, you know, where we just have to live and learn. And like I said, you know, coming back, a huge rally, being the Patriots, and, you know, fell short to the Saints. And like you said, I think we'll make a huge impact in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think that that's how it might have gone down, that had you survived that Saints game, that everybody would be talking about. No one wants to play this team. And I also think that it would have avoided the following week's acrimony at practice. If you guys had won that game, everybody would have been feeling good, and it may, you know, who knows how things play out now. Do you, you know, where do you come down on Coach Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger? Do you find Roethlisberger? I guess he's getting a fair amount of the criticism. Is he a leader in that locker room?
Well, for sure, most definitely. Big Ben, he's always been a leader since I got there. Obviously, we want the best for the team, so we're going to do what's possible. You know, offense, defense, special teams, and you show it. The leader role comes out. You know, obviously in the tough times, and you know, we played against the Patriots. It was, you know, everyone was positive. Everyone was strong. Going to have that mentality, you know, just the feeling to win. And like I say, you know, there's some games you can't control. There's some calls you can't control, and things happen. And it's tough.
Well, things happened, obviously, and there seems to be discord continuing. Best guess, you've already gone on record as saying you would prefer that 84 is back in the Steelers locker room in 2019. Best guess, do you think he is wearing a Steelers uniform?
Man, I think he is. And that's what I want. That's what I feel. I truly believe that just because, man, you got the numbers that we put up. I mean, we keep doing this years to come. And for him to be my mentor, I learned a lot from AB. For both of us to have over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards.
Really crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's really crazy stuff. And, you know, the first to do it in the franchise. I mean, why not keep doing it? Let's keep it rolling.
Have you spoken with him?
Man, right now it's vacation time. You know, I let him be with his family. He does this stuff. And, you know, I focus on myself.
I was certain that it was a wrap on 84 and black and gold. But I do think you wait another week and then a month, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, maybe we could figure this out. I'm starting to come around that Antonio Brown might still wind up a Pittsburgh.
Yeah, definitely. Don't give your hopes up, man. We definitely he's going to be in black and gold. That's what I truly believe. As time goes on, well, we got 2-3 months until we got OTAs, camp, and all that. So, yeah, don't give up.
Last question, who'd be more fun to drive across the country with in a car? Would it be Roethlisberger, Tomlin, or AB?
That's a good one. I would probably say Coach Tomlin, just because he has some very interesting stories. And Coach Tomlin, I mean, he's probably one of my favorite coaches. You know, he keeps everything real and honesty. I think I can learn a lot from him. I don't get enough time to spend alone time with him. Obviously, I've talked to AB, I've talked to Ben, I've heard some of their stories, I've talked to some of the players, but Coach Tomlin for sure.
Wonder if the music would be good, though, if you and Coach T would line up musically. Oh, you would, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I already know how Coach Tomlin is.
Juju, it's a pleasure to meet you. You're one of the, good for you on really figuring some stuff out legitimately in social media and otherwise, and breaking through in a world of everybody vying for the attention of people. You figured something out pretty early on in your career, and here you are, the most likable guy in the NFL. I'm going to say it.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's how I always been, and I'm going to just keep pushing.
Yeah, keep going. Number 19, everybody, of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Dave.
Hey, I don't have to tell anybody within the sound of my voice. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. It could be a knee injury. You've had back trouble, right, Hanson?
And knee injuries, actually.
Is that right?
Yep.
And you've been bucked by a ram or two in your life in an open field somewhere in the U.K., something worse can happen to you, too. Guys, they're usually more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on it than they are seeing a doctor. Here you go, Handsome. This is for you. The same is true of erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of fellas who experience ED don't get treated for it. Don't hide in the shadows, though, Handsome. Roman has created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is your one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians, which I think are better than the UK version.
Oh, no doubt, for ED dysfunction treatment, yes.
Oh, good. So you are already and familiar with those physicians. They know how to diagnose the ED, as you know, and ship medication right to your door.
How do I get this stuff?
Well, there are no waiting rooms. There's no awkward face-to-face conversations like you and I generally have, or any uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You handle it all online. All you have to do is go to GetRoman.com/Damashek. Yes, when you need help from Get Roman, I want you to think one name, Damashek.
Damashek.
Fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, get FDA-approved ED meds delivered right to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. So, for a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/Damashek. That's GetRoman.com/Damashek for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/Damashek.
I'll check it out.
That's it for the special edition of the Dave Damashek football program here from Radio Row or Media Center or whatever they call it here in front of Super Bowl 53. Keep on checking out all the content that we're pushing out. We'll be doing so all the way up to and through, and then even after the completion of Super Bowl 53. You can follow all of it, NFL.com/DDFP, and or just follow me on the Twitters at Damashek, and you'll see that. And we'll talk to you when we get back to Los Angeles, and we do have, I can tell you already, a lot of good interviews still to come in the coming weeks. Just had a great conversation with Matt Ryan, another one with Von Miller, and we'll have that stuff for you back from L.A. I wanted to hold on to it to be able to highlight it for you after the Patriots and Rams complete their 60 minutes of action. All right, well, Kibitz with you then. Thanks to J.B. Long, Maurice Jones-Drew, Handsome Hank, and Melvin Gordon, Juju Smith-Schuster, Emma VP, Ricky Hollywood, Ryan Bartlett, and Eddie Spaghetti back in Culver City. We'll talk to you later on. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.